Clanksby Hill. We had a very long, made Norwegian-style sledging.
No, not that.
We battled down, we hit what doesn't we?
Go and find her.
Where are you going, Master? For a drink.
Okay, you guys want anything else?
Three bus beers and some ginger and lime, please.
Six shots of giggle water.
Pete Earl Grey hot.
This snake juice is basically rat poison. I've
spent my whole life right here in Lackawanna County.
The drink, I like it.
I know, it's great. Right?
Another!
How often is you checking out a pole with another man? How often does that happen?
About two or three times a month. You know, just to keep it relevant.
The internet pole,
yes.
Right.
You see, when my internet technician came, I've seen enough true crime to be like, oh, this is going to end in murder.
Well, now that we've had that horrible introduction, I guess it was actually somewhat fitting because we are going to be talking about technology tonight. Isn't that right?
I thought we were talking about delicious meats.
And here I thought I was going to make the bacon jokes.
Well, if you've stumbled into our bar, tonight you're listening to a doctor, a lawyer, a pilot, and a professor, and we have another explainer things on our hands.
Now comes the time to explain things. Segment called Explainer Deeds. You did not ask for this to happen, but it's gonna happen anyway.
Yes, sir.
So welcome to the segment where over explanations are allowed, and dare I say excessive, unsolicited information
so excessive.
Provided by Explainer.
That's right. Tonight, Dallas is giving us an explainer things on ham radios. Is that correct, Dallas?
I guess so. I thought it was spam. I read the text wrong, so.
Wait, I thought ham radio was just that we're talking about ham.
Yeah.
And this is the radio segment about ham.
I like to eat ham while.
Do you prefer country style or the cured and salted, or
honey baked all
honey
the way.
Honey baked, yes.
Right. Yes, sir.
Oh, William and I were in sync with that finger point towards the other picture.
Oh, I don't discriminate on any type of ham. If you give me ham, it shall be eaten.
Here's the real thing.
It was so in sync, it was tearing up his heart.
Oh
my gosh. That was terrible. Now I do have one critique. Canadian bacon is not bacon.
No.
You are correct.
It is just
absolutely
ham, and the Canadians correct, should be ashamed of themselves.
I agree.
But for multiple reasons, not just the ham part. But you know,
I'll
whatever.
Eat it. Hey,
I will say something controversial to a great many of our listeners, but turkey bacon, so long as you don't
nope,
expect
nope,
bacon,
nope.
is good
worse
on its own merits.
Nope. You're wrong. Fundamentally,
it is a
you're
good
wrong.
Meat so long as you're not expecting bacon.
That's why I just call it salted turkey strips.
Like,
and that way I know what
exactly.
I'm getting into.
That's
well nice. Beforehand.
It's objectively.
And salted turkey strips are good.
Dogs don't know it's not bacon.
Calling it bacon or sausage is just wrong. To be a sausage, it has to be a high fat content meat. And it's not. That's why people go with it. I get the want to be healthy, but you can eat bacon in moderation, especially if it's uncured. So that's your PSA.
I just eat it raw.
The doctor and I even had a full conversation about this. Uncured bacon, totally safe.
Listen, the closest thing I got to that in conversation today, we were on our way to get my truck worked on, and Genevieve had an invisible parrot that eats beef turkey.
Beef turkey.
Yep.
So
beef turkey? Turkey she yeah, Dad, she eats beef turkey.
Absolutely it does.
Okay. Okay.
Now at Bucky's in the section next to the beaver nuggets is beef turkey. And we're still unsure what either of those things are.
I don't trust
but it'll
that.
Fit right yeah. in with the rest of the lineup.
I've made bacon from start to finish. It's
course
native form.
Of course.
And,
delicious.
And how many turkeys were involved with that, Dallas? How many turkeys are in bacon?
I forced two to watch. So that way they knew.
Zero.
You stay in line, turkeys, or you're next. I'll turn you into beef turkey.
There's still no beef involved in bacon either. No. But...
I think, is there not a beefing a beefing process? Is that not a no? No. I don't know.
That's one of the seven stages of beef. Denial that turkey bacon is good, and then bargaining where you want to convince everybody else, and then there's anger that people don't agree with your horrible bacon.
It's actually just warring factions of turkeys. They've got beef in the I have a grievance against you. Like we have
a beef turkey.
And that is how the next world war will start.
One of my favorite American traditions is the president pardoning the Thanksgiving Day turkey. Now, if I were president, I would have the full ceremony, pardon the turkey, and then kill it anyways. And just so that it can see the look of betrayal.
And this is a statement on America's justice system. Doesn't matter. So now that we're tiptoeing into politics very dangerously.
Speaking of federal guidelines.
Yes. Ham radio.
Ham radio, yes.
Ooh. Did you know that the moon is out? Moon night. Like, that was that level of transition right there.
Wait, you believe in the moon?
It's hollow.
And birds. Birds aren't real, you know? Ham radio. First, could you start by explaining what the heck does ham in the ham radio stand for? Is it an acronym?
It's an acronym for the three guys that started the first ham club, the first radio club. First,
I want to join that club.
And so they had
the holy artichoke.
Is that real?
No, that's for real.
Is that real?
And so that's why nobody knows what it stands for, because it's three guys' names who started like standardizing radio and like making clubs and the whole shebang. And so from that,
it's not that I don't believe you, but I don't believe you because my father would do something like that. And I am fact checking you right now.
I believe you, Dallas, wholeheartedly.
You shouldn't believe anything I ever say. Ever.
Let the record show. I take it all at face value.
So ham is a popular term derived from ham as an informal name for amateur radio operators. So it's a nickname.
See, I saw it. So it's Albert S. Hyman, Bob Almy, and Poogie Murray. And their first station was Hyman Almy Murray Ham. I think it's one of those chicken and egg.
So, all right. Now that I've started searching this, and we're going to have Dallas explain it in air quotes to us. During the 20th century, it started out that an amateur radio transmission included the comment, "Say, do you know the fella who's putting up a new station out your way? I think he's a ham." However, the term did not gain widespread usage in the United States until around 1920. So
this is saying 1908.
I don't know where you came up with those names.
This says that 1908 is whenever they had their first station.
First broadcast by Alexander Hamilton himself.
Yep, and that's how we know.
Is this episode of Explainer Things going to be Dallas and Alex quoting facts back and forth to each other?
I'm reading Wikipedia right here, and it does have false etymology. Sorry, entomology is the study of bugs.
Yeah,
etymology.
That's the study of bugs. Go figure. That's your wedding, Cody.
You're welcome. Whatever. That came up in 1972, and that's where that came from. The Hyman, Almy, and Murray. Even further back. Hertz, Armstrong, and Marconi. That's not real. And Hammerlund, the Hammerlund legend as well. None of those are Those are all false etymologies. So
false etymologies?
Of course, I'm now doing the explainering to the guy explainering the thing.
Listen, I brought this up in a search and rescue class and said that it doesn't stand for really anything. And a guy called me out, and that's what he said. And so multiple people were like,
"You
yeah,
teach the
I looked
class,
it up.
And that guy is in your class. You need to shut him down."
They said they looked it up, so I didn't know. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I thought that Serbian website was correct.
All the time.
This is why you can't believe the internet. And this is why you should only use
or the Serbians
ham radio to gain any of your information.
So, Dallas, how did you get into ham radio? What spurred the interest?
So,
were you a semi-truck driver in another life?
I was not a semi-truck driver. I started doing emergency management and doing search and rescue. And a lot of that is preparation for bad things that could happen. And we were all sitting around, and I'd been on a couple dozen searches at that point. And a huge point of failure for most interagency operations of any kind is communication. And communications would fail on a regular basis, whether it was cell phones or radios, whatever it may be. And so me and a couple of the other emergency management folks had decided, well, let's get our ham license so that way we can deep dive a little bit more into how radios work. So that way we can better understand and better prepare for if something happens, we can program radios or we can extend communication, sustain communication. So that's how it started. And me and my brother studied for the technician exam and passed. And that's how I started. And that's why I still do it. I do dabble sometimes in just talking to people on local repeaters, but a lot of it is just translated into search and rescue work or emergency. There have been a few like crucial searches that I would ask, you know, what frequencies does this agency use? I don't know. And so I would be able to research, look up what frequencies they use, take their radios and put those in and know what that actually means and make it work. So it's come in handy.
So for people who may not like, this is literally their first introduction to this world. I learned a little bit about ham radio a long time ago, so a lot of this is just going to kind of come back to me. What makes ham radio different from, say, AM or FM frequencies that people are more commonly know of?
Right. Ham radio, it's amateur radio, and it is to transmit and receive from amateurs, whether that be voice, data, whatever it may be. And so the way that radio waves work is they're on frequent, you know, they're a frequency to the wavelength, and that changes how it transmits, what it transmits. And different frequencies won't interfere with other frequencies. So the government has designated certain bands. So like AM and FM bands, there are certain bands that you can operate on as an amateur radio person. And you can transmit and receive on those following certain rules and regs at will. FM band, those are specific bands, and you know there's certain stipulations and licensures that you have to transmit on those. Same with AM. And even with those, like if you've ever listened to AM, the transmit is kind of funky at certain times of day and night. And so different.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I know from my background flying, like we were using VHF, very high frequency, and there's even UHF, ultra high frequency, which basically bounces its signal off the stratosphere and then back down to Earth. So it's really interesting in general. Of course, there are a ton of regulations in play there so that we don't have a bunch of people crossing their channels. Thankfully, they're all very separate. Because it would be kind of funny to be flying along at 30,000 feet, and the next thing you know, this is Big Duck 977 calling in from Kentucky. So I'm kind of glad that that's not the case.
And even
would this all be from the FCC?
Yep. Yeah,
is that who regulates this? Yeah, we listen to a lot of. Oh, at least I do. I listen to a lot of the Vergecast, and a lot of their
conversation goes into, they were talking about, was it Dish Network making a fourth carrier? That was one of Trump's big deals, but Dish Network making a wireless carrier. And so there was a certain section of spectrum that was sold to them for use.
Don't say spectrum. It's very triggering for me in this household.
A spectrum on radio frequencies, yeah. Because you hear like the gigahertz, the 2.6 gigahertz, 5.2 gigahertz on Wi-Fi. There's the certain where does ham radio operate?
Ham radio, depending on your level, because there's like technician, and then it goes up from there, opens up different bands to you that you can use. And it's because other like HF bands, which are very low frequency, they have like very high or like long propagation. That's how you can like talk to the Philippines from here, because it's very slow waves and they can bounce better. And that is reserved for like the higher tier. Like you have to test into those because it's a little bit more technical how you finagle those. And there's a lot more to it than just regular like 70 centimeter and 2 meter bands technicians, which is mostly
because at the end of the day, it's all about how big are the radio waves. If you think about it, like the Wi-Fi that you're getting when you're talking about like 5G is not even the same as 5 gigahertz for your Wi-Fi. And then when you're talking about megahertz for radio, it's a very different scale. But they're designed to travel farther through things or not through things. And so it's kind of messy in general.
Yeah, because just when the lower, like if you get into high frequency or HF, which is low frequency, so it's, you know, they're very slow, longer waves. They don't penetrate very well at all, but they travel further than like VHF waves, which you're getting up into the gigahertz. And they can penetrate really well, but they don't travel as far. So even like whenever they're putting up 5G towers, they put up a lot of them because they have high penetration, but they don't propagate very well. So they can go through your house, but they can't travel. So, yeah.
Now AM, FM waves, like, are those, like, where do they fall on the spectrum? I'm trying to, like, relate it all back to that because that's what most people know.
Well, it'd be even easier if you start and think about radio waves in general, though, because you've got radiation. And then you've got X-rays, then you've got ultraviolet and infrared, then you get visible light. And this is all energy, right? And so as the frequency and the actual wavelength is changing, now we're able to see it. And then this takes me back to a physics class that I had in college, where I very stupidly asked a professor, I said, if you shouted loud enough in a dark room, could you create light? And he looked at me and was like, you're an idiot. But also, that's a great question simultaneously, because kind of.
Only an idiot could come up with such a question.
Yes, exactly. So the radio spectrum goes all the way from like the gigahertz, which is at the higher end, closer to visible light. And then it goes all the way down to like megahertz and then kilohertz on the really, really tiny end. So like the Wi-Fi is higher up, radio is a little smaller and smaller and smaller.
Got it.
And then there's satellite, and that's just its own. We're not touching that one with a 50 foot.
But because like you cannot change that spectrum, like you cannot add space or take away space. As we get new broadcasting technologies, that takes up parts of those bands, and the restricted parts are the parts that are reserved for amateur radio or for, you know, other things, get sold off. The government literally just sells those off or auctions those off to people to use for their transmissions of whatever it may be. So that's why, like, you have to kind of stay on top of the rules and regs, because they may take away part of a band, or they may maneuver things around. And that's why ham radio, like, it is a very cordial group of folks. they're and it's because they are supposed to be self-policing, and if they screw it up real bad, the government will just take it away and sell that off. So you have to mind
your business. So what you're saying is they don't So what you're saying, they don't act like the Call of Duty community over your head.
No. There's very specific rules. Like, you cannot use profanity over the air. You cannot. You're not supposed to talk politics and religion over the air. And they are really good at squashing that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And they're very strict about it. Like, if somebody starts getting funky, they even have people that will go as so far as to triangulate that radio's position to go have a conversation with him if they don't stop. And if they have to, they'll turn him in. They don't turn him in often, because if the more people that get turned in, it looks like everybody's just misbehaving and they'll take it away. So they're pretty
and
good
the reason
it.
For that, and so let me put the lawyer hat on here for a second. The reason, you know, a lot of people would look at that and go, First Amendment, my free speech rights, rah, yah, yah, rah, 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 rah. Well, the reason for it is, as Alex said, there's only so much spectrum that exists.
Yeah.
And so you have a right, like, you have a right to say whatever you want, but you have a privilege to government licensed spectrum. So you have to follow the government's rules if you're going to play into sort of the spectrum playground. Whereas, because there's only so much bandwidth that you can use. Whereas on the internet, there's unlimited bandwidth. You can say whatever you want and be as obscene as you want. Yep. And there's not a, basically, the more bandwidth you have, the more free speech rights you have.
That's where the FCC gets into play, because it's, all right, if everyone is allowed to use this and it has to serve official purposes in some capacity, you can't really, it's hard to regulate energy waves, right? Like, at the end of the day. So you just got to make sure that you cut a few frequencies out specifically for government use, and then some specifically for everyone else to use. So at the same time, if people are abusing that right, you've kind of got to, you know, police yourselves, like Dallas just said, to make sure nobody is acting out or doing something foolish.
And, you know, like, Alex, you fly. And that's a very specific type of, it's in the air band. They have their own frequencies that they use. But if some, or you
which
can buy.
Which is different from hair band.
That's true. That's a different set of frequencies that only dogs can. But.
Or Cody's laughter. One of the two.
Any way you want it, that's the way you
Well, what's
it.
Interesting is that AM radio and aviation radio are both in a very, I mean, they're actually very, very close, especially ham. But most of the tuners that you're getting are also specifically powered to receive set channels. So it was interesting. I could drive by the airport when I would leave the airport, and there were a few empty AM bands that you could catch bits and pieces of the tower if you were close enough.
That's cool.
So that's always, it's always fun when you'd be driving along, the next thing you know, you'd hear just the tiniest fragment, and you kind of turn, you're like, whoa, where am I? Am I in the car, or am I?
And that's why, like, there's rules and regs. Like, you can do citizen band or CB radio, and there's very specific wattages that you're allowed to use those with, because they have a really high problem with bleeding into other frequencies that it's not allowed to broadcast on. But, like, bootleg radio people will buy a CB radio, or citizen band radio, and hook it to like a 200 watt power inverter and just blast, and it can mess with your lights, it can mess with your TV, it can do all sorts of bad things. So that's why it's really important to keep those things squared away. Even like really cheap ham radios, they will bleed really bad into other frequencies. And so frequencies are really close together, sometimes just a few, you know, degrees one way or the other. And it can mess up with a lot of things.
Well, I mean, you even see that in your car. Like, if you're not doing the seeking feature where it finds a really strong frequency and you're just turning the knob, you can go to a different frequency of AM or FM radio and still hear the music being played on the frequency before. But it just gets a little staticky and might cut in and out, especially when you're in your car. Well, I have, don't get me wrong, like, I squarely put my nerd hat on whenever we started this conversation.
As well you should.
To take it off for a little bit, I use the hat analogy a lot in my clinic, I say, I'm going to take my doctor hat off and set it over here. And I'm going to take my dad hat on and I'm going to put it on. Technically, from the American Academy of Pediatrics.
Then I'm going to put on a sword hat. And what do you know?
Exactly. Technically, from the American Academy of Pediatrics, babies should eat every 2 hours. I'm going to take my doctor hat off, set it over here. I'm going to put my dad hat on. Don't you wake that baby up. They are growing appropriately. They are getting enough nutrition. Don't you wake
you
a sleeping
baby. You mean I should
baby.
Be waking myself up and eating every 2 hours?
Exactly. So
you are a
putting
big baby.
My... Putting aww. My like fifth chair, pull up to the bar, put your like join into the conversation. I think the thing about ham radios that I want to know the most from you, Dallas, is number one, when you started looking into it, yes, the impetus was search and rescue. Why have you continued to experiment? Why have you continued to dabble? What is it about it that has drawn you to it and kept you there?
And what sort of illicit things have you been broadcasting?
I cannot confirm or deny what I have broadcast over the radio. No, I'm just it's got the same draw as most hobbies. Even like video games, it's as deep as you want to get, and there's like the next level, learn all of that. The next level, oh, there's more. Learn all of that and just kind of slow step into whatever it is you want. There's so much you can do. It's not just talking on the radio. I sound like an 99-year-old World War II vet right now. Like, ham radio, so exciting.
Well, here's the thing about explainer things. I want you to sound like an 80-year-old veteran because I want to know that you're passionate about what you're talking about.
Epitome. And I am. I never thought I would be. I got it solely out of, you know, trying to fix a problem that we had. But then I as I researched, I was like, there's so much more that I could do. I took an old tape measure and I broke it and I cut it apart and I soldered it together and made a directional antenna that I hooked to my 5-watt handheld radio and I bounced a signal off of a satellite that was passing by, and it retransmitted it, and I talked to somebody in California.
What?
You were talking to Elon?
I was.
That's crazy.
It was his car that passed.
How did you bounce this off of my satellite?
You don't talk with Elon. You vibe with Elon. I think we've all known.
Elon, my pancreas Elon shiver. Talks to you. Elon talks to you, and you just go, did you say words? I want to rebrand Ham Radio to X Radio.
That's what it is.
Another joke that will only be timely right now and never ever
once
again.
Once the world burns, we won't know what that is.
A question I have is like, how would you say healthy is the hobby in the community right now? Like, with technology marching on and the internet consuming ever more and more aspects of our lives, is ham radio still a vibrant community, or is it sort of like still a vibrant community, or has the community found any difficulties adapting, as you know, the same way that like traditional radio has when it comes to the age of the internet?
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's evolved with technology. Like, there is digital radio as well. That's a little different, but there's also like I can right now on my phone pull up an app called Echo Link, and it will connect to repeaters, which are like high powered radio rebroadcasters for ham. Some of them people will rig a internet to analog kind of system to it. So I can log into my phone and talk on that, and it will go through the internet to that repeater, then broadcast on analog to everyone listening to that repeater. So anyone in the world could talk on the local repeater here. And it would broadcast an analog. If I turned my analog radio on, I could hear them from anywhere, ever, wherever. Some people, like the old timers, the purists, don't really like that, but it keeps it going.
The purists of ham
radio.
And
ham radio.
We still call it pig radio over here.
A vinyl aficionado, I know those people exist in any genre.
I prefer the radio static in my ham radio.
And I kind of get it, like, you know, ham radio, because it's purely analog, you could build a radio from nothing and broadcast, and other people can hear it and do all. But it also keeps it alive. Also, like, YouTube makes it a whole lot more accessible, you know, social media groups where people can ask questions in real time. But it has also started this really weird push for people to not want to get their license. They're like, well, screw getting a license. If you're not going to rat me out, I'll just do what I want. I have learned all I need to from the internet. Why do I need an arbitrary license? And those are the people that they're kind of afraid will ruin it and the government will take it away. Because they're like, screw the government. I can do whatever I want. Yeah. I don't need your license.
I think everyone who grew up ever has heard the song Convoy. How does ham radio differ from CB radios?
CB radio is its own, it has its very own band that it can play on. And there's very strict wattage restrictions. They're not supposed to crank up the wattage on those. Ham radio, you can, you know, I've got a 50 watt radio that I use all the time. You can use a lot more power if you're licensed.
So is CB a little more akin to like walkie talkies? And then ham is now that step up in wattage where it's going to start getting regulated? Is that the big differentiator?
Citizens Band isn't regulated either. I mean, you don't have to be licensed.
Is that what CB stands for? I thought it stood for Chuck and Bruce.
Same thing.
That was the two names of the inventors.
That's the real story. That's the one the government doesn't want you to know about. But it's regular walkie-talkies are highly regulated. Like, you cannot have a removable antenna. If you buy a radio from Walmart, it has channels. Those channels are given very specific frequencies. You never know what they are. I do, but you don't have to know that. It just works. Citizen Band is kind of a step above, a little bit more power, a little bit more freedom, and then you have to test to get into ham radio. Radio is not supposed to be encrypted. Analog, like the bands that we are talking about, cannot be encrypted. They can be digital, but not encrypted.
Challenge accepted.
You can encrypt them. But it's illegal. It has to be open. Even like law enforcement, EMS, fire, they can use digital systems to make it a little more efficient, but they're not encrypted in any way. You can get off-the-shelf decoders.
So coming to iOS 18, ham radio and iMessage, end-to-end encryption.
But there is something called APRS, which takes analog, turns it to digital. So it's like dial-up, you know, like the... And then your computer, your modem, decrypts that into usable information. I can hook my phone up to my analog radio, and if you have an analog radio plugged up to your phone with the same app, I can text you. It will go over analog signal. Yeah.
What?
And then it will decrypt.
You are blowing my mind.
You can do email that way. I can send pictures. You can pull down.
Would this solve the iMessage blue bubble, green bubble debate?
Everybody
if we just all switched to
ham?
It's a little fuzzy bubble because the data is not.
Analog texting is just mailing, just so you know, Cody.
You write a letter with an old-timey quill pen, and you rub your radio on it, and then it'll send that. You can download, like, satellites pass all the time. The space station passes all the time, and they send something called slow-scan television, and you can download pictures that they are broadcasting over analog, like old-timey postcards.
What?
Like, you collect those pictures, and yeah. It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. All it is like, modern times, just
this
85 years.
Why we do this.
200 years from now, they'll be like,
and that's
ham radio is doing stuff with fiber. It's crazy, but it's just following really far behind. They just can't get so cool.
Well, that, like,
how did you hook up your hologram to your ham radio, Grandpa? Oh, well, it was interesting because I had to put it in the, you know, dongle that Apple gave me and then hook it up to the ham radio.
The old timey.
Apparently,
but now that's how I can send you a hologram.
And then Ryan Reynolds, you know, put Mint Mobile on the ham radio spectrum. It's just a whole thing.
That's something.
After he bought his fifth soccer team and his seventh bourbon company, you know, Ryan Reynolds just ran out of things to do. So he bought all of ham radio.
So I,
well, I think that's the essence of what I wanted to get to. The, huh, you can do
right.
X, you can do Y, you can do Z. It's a whole thing. Like that, I think, is the spark of interest that, like, what has
yeah.
drawn you in? The fact that you can use this analog technology to do all of these.
I have a dongle
things
somewhere that just listens.
Of course,
like, I have a giant antenna outside, and it listens to this dongle. Will break down from like 5 kilohertz, 5 point something gigahertz. So it listens to all of it at the same time, and so I can narrow it down and find satellites that are broadcasting, or beepers, or, you know, people talking on ham or air bands, because all of that stuff can be listened to, and it's, you know, it's freely broadcasted, which is why I brought up the it can't be encrypted, because during COVID, drive-through doctor visits were a big thing, and a lot of offices bought radios at Walmart. And when you pulled up and you're like,
oh,
here,
no.
This is my birthday, this is who I am, this is yeah. why I'm here. And they would just get on that on channel 5 and be like, so and so, their birthday is this, they're here for this. And then we're broadcasting medical stuff on just open channels that any, you know, 5-year-old that has a radio that they bought from Walmart could hear too. And that's just going out over everywhere.
How much like insurance fraud happened?
I don't think anybody ever thought, you know, how I'm going to defraud insurance? Radios. But I was listening on this on my thing and could hear like 2 or 3 doctor's offices at certain times. And so I was like, I should probably scrub past that set of frequencies and move on. But that was the thing.
Thankfully, the ham radio people are fine, upstanding citizens.
We look right? the other way.
Self-policing.
Okay, to be fair, 2 things. Number one, my clinic did not do anything like that.
Yeah, I was not pointing fingers at any
You had to call the clinic. They did all the check-in over the phone, over your cell phone.
Yeah, and then when you got
number
there,
two.
They pulled out the bullhorn and just shouted it into the parking lot.
Date
number
of birth,
two.
Credit card, social.
We were all scrambling to figure out how to
make
society
work.
Oh,
I wasn't faulting them at all. They went in to Walmart, and they're like, oh, this one says it has private channel. And that doesn't mean anything.
And you know what? The ham radio community was the backbone of America. They kept everyone's
that's
security
right.
I wrote
that's
them all down
wraps.
To make sure nobody stole those.
I've gone into LifeLock and checked every single yep. one of them. And I, you know, I sent myself a tip of $100 from every one of their accounts to say thank you.
Thank me for my service.
Information safe. Cody, this is where you chime in with the legalese like you did a few episodes ago. And you're like, hello, this is a joke, yada, yada. Please.
I'm just letting y'all just sit there and hang by your own noose.
Cody's playing both sides.
Cool, thanks.
He's gonna give all this up here in a second. Sell us out.
Hello, Mr. President of the FCC. I have 3 people to turn in. I take my reward now.
We don't have a functional FCC right now, but that's another conversation for another time.
Well, that's how I felt being a Christian who was taking evolution as their capstone for their biology major. I felt like I knew enough in both camps to just make the other camp upset and angry.
William, shoot.
That's what
both
I
sides.
Stir the pot.
I literally stir went to grad pot. School to do just that thing. Know enough to make both sides angry.
I don't know enough, so it just makes everyone.
Well, that's the one thing. So I've always loved radio. I even interned at Morehead State Public Radio. Part of the reason, part of the reason I do this is because that was the question about technology. I realized real quick there's no money in radio right now, thanks to technology, and thanks to the advent of technology, and AM/FM is kind of being supplanted by the Spotify's and the Apple Musics of the world. But I always loved radio because how many technologies, you know, that someone from 1935 could be time traveled to today and they would recognize the AM radio Like, that is something that we still use today. That I always just find that fascinating. The fact that we're still doing things.
It reminds me of that scene in Ford v. Ferrari where Henry Ford's grandson gets in the car with Carroll Shelby, played by Matt Damon. And he's like, hop in. He's like, my grandfather started this company. I know a thing or two about cars. And he takes him around the track and he's just like sobbing by the end of it. He's like, if my grandfather was here to see this. Can you imagine giving like some 1920s guy Spotify? You have all the Glenn Miller bands you could ever want right here.
A jitterbug from it's anywhere. Amazing.
This is beautiful. That's all I could picture in my head was that scene, but with radio. He's like, now that we've gotten around the track, allow me to show you the AM radio. And he's like, head blows up because he just can't handle it.
I think I've told this story before, but I was on the AM dial one night in Somerset, and I stumbled upon a AM station at like 12:30 at night, and they were playing a 1950s radio drama. Or like an old timey golden age of radio radio drama, and I thought I had time travel for a few minutes there.
This is Orson Welles. If you're hearing this, welcome back. And you're like, where? Welcome back to where?
The next morning.
Welcome back to when?
The next morning, the AM station was gone. It did not work.
To bring it back to why I started. Last year, around this time. There was a huge flood problem in Eastern Kentucky, and we were the first ones there. We're getting things done. And a few days after, like, it's assessment time. We're checking on families, going door to door to make sure every, you know, because not everyone could get out. Not everyone thought to get out. So we were, you know, checking on everybody, make sure they had what they needed. And I got attached to a Red Cross team as a radio operator because there was no cell phone service whatsoever in this part of Eastern Kentucky. There's hardly cell phone service when it's not flooding. So this knocked it all out. So they bring people in from all over the United States, the Red Cross does, to do these assessments and to help out. And so they wanted communications between everyone. So they attached anybody that they could that was a radio operator per vehicle. Radios are line of sight. So we're in the mountains. You cannot talk to each car after a couple of miles, but there were some repeaters close by, and repeaters, ham operators maintain those like a vehicle. Like they make sure they're always running, making sure that there's generators attached to them. So if power does go out, they still work. And I was able to hit three repeaters, and there was just, you know, random ham operators that were talking to each other. And they asked me who I was. I gave them my call sign and asked me what I was doing that far away. And I was like, I'm with Red Cross. We're doing this. And they're like, you know what? If you need anything, if you need us to make phone calls, if you need us to make runs, we're going to sit by the radio all day long and we'll be your eyes, ears, and wheels. Whatever you need, you got it.
That is
so. And so like they lost stuff. You know, they were some of the victims too, but they were sitting there and they were willing to devote their time and effort and energy to help out other people. So it was super cool.
That's awesome.
So I was like, okay, it's paid off. It's not just a hobby. It's paid off. It's working out. So
I feel like ham radios and geocaching are in the same camp for me, where it's like a little touch of technology with a little touch of the real world.
Yeah.
And it's fascinated me for a really long time. Geocaching, not as much. I don't feel like wasting my gas money to go find a box with a note. But ham radios, it's that little bit of analog, that nostalgia, plus the community aspect. And that hearing that story right there kind of brings it all home. I love that.
It's amazing.
Oh, we're going to have fun with my book club pick.
I know what it is, too.
Dallas, actually, I was just reminded it is actually the 1-year anniversary of the Eastern Kentucky floods.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard any updates about that? Like ways to help, or like how's the community doing? The communities down there doing?
They're still rebuilding. They bounced back pretty quick, but there's a lot of people that lost absolutely. I'd watched houses floating and hit bridges and just explode, and so like their entire everything was gone. And a lot of them were very, it's rural, low income, so they didn't really have the funds to bounce back. So those are the people that are still in limbo or still trying to find, you know, where to go, what to do, because their house is gone. They had no money or insurance to build back. And so there's still some of that going on. And that'll be years and years and
years.
So, yeah. It was a hard time. It was one of the most traumatizing incidents that I've ever.
Should I? My wife's in the other room. Do you want me to? You want to have an on?
Yeah. Let's schedule that. We'll do that live. If you want to put that on Facebook Live, so everybody can.
Or on ham radio.
Yeah, there we go. If we could all get on ham radio together, she got a call sign. So to listen to KO4FEJ. That's my call sign.
I mean, I didn't expect it to go this way, but I will link in the show notes. There's a local clothing company here in Moorhead that is partnering with the hospital system that they are doing like anniversary flood relief for victims, especially for like kids going back to school and people who are still rebuilding. So I'll link all of that in the show notes. They've got a t-shirt and a hoodie that just say resilience on it. And I think that reflects the ham radio community, that reflects the Eastern Kentucky community. And not exactly where I thought the end of this episode would go, but I'm not complaining that it went there. Well, Dallas, thanks for explaining ham radios for us.
No problem.
I love that we've made explainering a word. It was.
Oh, yes.
It wasn't.
Yes, 100%. Hey, and with that, I think I'm going to head out of here. Dallas, thank you for sharing your nerdy passion with us. I feel like that's every episode that we get on here, is sharing your nerdy passion. If you have made it this far, congratulations. Dallas is awesome, and you should like what he likes too. I'm just going to throw that out there. No, but if consider following us on social media. We're on Threads now, not to put a big date stamp right on this episode. Yeah, it is a thing. But yeah, all the links to our social medias will be in the show notes. But if you've also liked this episode, consider supporting us on Patreon. It's patreon.com/doctorandlawyer. I'm already building the goodie boxes for our highest tier for Christmas time. And I was able to support a local business and add some goodies to it. So I'm really excited about that. We'll be sharing more of that on our social media. But with that, guys, I think I'm going to head out of here. I'll pick up the tab. And with that, I am William.
I'm Cody.
I'm Dallas.
And I'm Alex.
And we will catch you all next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Are you kidding? I'm working.
All right, I'll be right there.
And grab the movie. Go, 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 go.
Come on, my love. Come on, my friend.
You have been the one. You have been the one for
me. Snapped in two, which was sad.